if we look to the answer as to why for so many years we achieved so much, prospered as no other people on earth, it was because here in this land, we unleashed the energy and individual genius of man to a greater extent than has ever been done before. Those who say that we're in a time when there are no heroes, they just don't know where to look. The sloping hills of Arlington National Cemetery, with its row upon row of simple white markers, bearing crosses or stars of David, they add up to only a tiny fraction of the price that has been paid for our freedom. As for the enemies of freedom, those who are potential adversaries, they will be reminded that peace is the highest aspiration of the American people. We will negotiate for it, sacrifice for it. We will not surrender for it now or ever. We are Americans.
This is the Bob France Authority on AM 1420. The Answer.
Yes, indeed it is, and a good morning to you. Thanks for joining us as we get rolling at 8 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock on this Thursday, the third morning of the ninth month of the year of our Lord, 2020. Coming up on the program this morning in about a half an hour, we're going to be talking with John Stover of Ohio Values Voters. Ohio Value Voters has endorsed a slate of candidates, as they always do in the upcoming election. So why am I having John Stover on to talk about that? Because, well, they feel very, very strongly about something else as well. They feel very strongly about who you should not vote for. In other words, they do not just have a full Republican slate that they have identified to help advance conservative values in Ohio government. No. There are some Republicans that they are going to tell you flat out, do not vote for these people. And what's the reason? Well, that's why we're going to have John Stover on to talk about that. So if you are a conservative-minded person, and the vast majority of this audience is, you're going to want to hear what they have to say. It is very interesting. I'm staring at it right now, and I'm looking at the big, bold, red letters at the bottom of the page that say, do not vote for these individuals. And I will let John Stover tell you why at 9:35. Then at 10:10, as it is a Thursday, it's Dr. Everett Piper Day. Dr. Piper is going to be joining us to talk about America as an idea versus America as a real, living, breathing being. We're also going to talk about sodomy between adults and children being legalized in California. No, I don't want to have to talk about that, but California's radical state legislature just passed a bill yesterday that will go before Governor Gavin Newsom, who is almost guaranteed to sign it in support of the LGBTQ community. And Dr. Piper has some thoughts that he wants to share on that. And I do, too, to be quite frank. And they've essentially just legalized child rape. A 24-year-old man can do things to a 14-year-old child, 14-year-old boy, and not have to register as a California sex offender. It is going to be considered legal and consensual. It is unbelievable. And Dr. Piper will talk to us about that and more. I want to start today. I was reticent yesterday to talk about the Hairgate thing, but then again, at the time we were on the air yesterday, Nancy Pelosi had not thrown the salon owner where she got her haircut and blow dry, which is both of which are illegal according to the law, or at least the order given by the state of California and Governor Gavin Newsom. Not allowed to be inside a salon getting a haircut, and you're not allowed to have a blow dry even if you are, because, you know, using a blow dryer can blow the vid all over the place and right into people's faces and mouths. And, oh my God, I just breathed somebody else's blow dried COVID into my lungs. So you're not allowed to have blow dry, and you're not allowed to be inside of a salon getting a service done anyway, because, well, California decided that's the way that it is. And I wasn't going to do this because it was just so much expected, I guess. It was just so expected. This is what liberal Democrats do. What is right for me is not for thee, and vice versa. laws apply to thee, but they do not apply to me. This is the way that it is with big, elitist, privileged. Notice I didn't say white privileged, because I'm going to follow up the Nancy Pelosi story with a reminder of the Lori Lightfoot story. But this is what liberal progressives do. Elite, privileged progressives pretty much say that we can pass laws and they only apply to you. Hey, listen, if I'm a king and I forbid my subjects to wear a crown, it doesn't mean I can't wear my own. I make the rules so I can break the rules. You cannot. I was going to let all this go until she took to the podium in a little press gathering yesterday, did Nancy Pelosi, and threw the salon owner under the bus, declaring almost impossibly that she was set up by the salon owner. I wish I didn't have this audio, but I do, and we need to discuss, because you need to recognize this is the leadership you will be voting for if you allow Democrats to keep control of the House of Representatives and add to their control in the Senate and or the presidency. This is the type of thing that, you know, the type of person that we're dealing with. Listen.
No, I've been there many, over the years, I've been there many times. I appreciate the question, and let me just say this. I take responsibility for trusting the word of a neighborhood salon that I've been to over the years many times, and that when they said what we're able to accommodate people one person at a time, and that we can set up that time, I trusted that. As it turns out, it was a setup, so I take responsibility for falling for a setup. And that's all I'm going to say on that. Anything else?
I take responsibility for falling for a setup. The salon set me up. I don't know about you, but the first thing that came into my mind was also what came into Tucker Carlson and his show's mind last night, too. Reminds me so much of former Washington, D.C. Mayor Marion Barry when he was caught in a hotel room with cocaine and hookers. And declared, B set me up. He said the B word, set me up. It's her fault. It's not my fault that I'm breaking the law in many different ways here. She set me up. Nancy Pelosi went with the salon owner set me up. She said she appreciates the question. And then she went on to talk about COVID deaths nationally, thinking that she could just completely get by with one question and one answer, which did not contain an apology for going into a salon that she knew could not take people one at a time to have haircuts and to have services performed. Because if they could, that salon would be open and scheduling people one person at a time. But they're not. They're closed because Gavin Newsom says they're closed, because the California State Department of Health says they all must be closed. They just recently were allowed to start cutting hair and performing services outdoors because they know that the virus, by the way, cannot be transmitted in open circulating air, which is why outdoor masking rules are so ridiculous. But I don't want to get off the topic. The point is, she knows they're not allowed to take people inside. And she tried to blame the salon owner for setting her up. She said she appreciates the question. So she then dives, you know, into all of these numbers about the national COVID deaths before a reporter comes back to her with a follow-up.
Since we passed the bill, more than half of those people have died since we passed the legislation. 4.6 million, I know, 4.6 million have become infected since we passed the legislation. And there are answers. There are scientific answers for this. 96,000 people have died since we passed the HEROES Act. So they want to jump on this. I think it's really important for us to pass the bill so in a scientific way we can address the virus and we can bring people back to work. I have been inundated by people who are in the hair service industry saying, thank you for calling attention to this. We need to get back to work. We need to get back to work. And many of them annoyed at the setup that was there for a purpose that has nothing to do with ending the crisis. Any other questions? I said that's the answer I'm going to answer. That's all I'm going to do. That's all I'm going to answer.
She cuts the reporter off for saying, it's our understanding that you called and scheduled the appointment. I said, that's it. I was set up, and a lot of salon owners and people in the hairdressing world have contacted me and said, thank you for calling attention to the fact that we need to go back to work. You are the reason they're not working, you wretched hag. You are the reason you and the rest of your liberal, progressive, crush the economy to harm Trump, all in the name of COVID. The rest of your sisters and brothers in progressive hate are the reason why business owners are dying. Their businesses are dying. And she goes in there to get a haircut and a blowout because she could. Now, did I mention privilege? It's not just privilege for Nancy Pelosi, because it's not white privilege. It's liberal, hypocrite, progressive privilege. Let's move to the mayor of Chicago. Do you recall Lori Lightfoot? Lori Lightfoot, the black mayor of Chicago, did the same thing back in April. Chicago had closed all businesses except for quote-unquote essential ones, and that would include hair and nail salons. But once again, the rule for thee does not apply to me. I am Lori Lightfoot, and I need to look good. Now, I'm going to refrain from stating the obvious here about the number of hours and days and weeks and months that she could spend in a salon without looking good. Oh, I guess I didn't refrain so much. But she did declare, I'm much more important than everyone else. Don't you understand? I'm the face of this city. If that is the case, well, we know how much trouble that city is in. Listen.
I'm out in the public eye. And, you know, I'm a person who I take my personal hygiene very seriously. As I said, I felt like I needed to have a haircut. I'm not able to do that myself, and so I got a haircut. We are trying to do the best that we can under difficult circumstances. I am practicing social distancing. The woman who cut my hair had a mask, had gloves on. I'm practicing what I'm preaching and making sure. I don't typically take pictures these days, but we are trying to do everything we can to emphasize the messages around social distancing, washing your hands, staying at home. But I, as a elected official in the public face of the city, I need to make sure that I am out there and visible through this crisis.
I am the public face of the city, so therefore I get to go in and have my face and my hair worked on. You don't. And oh, by the way, I'm practicing what I preach because I'm social distancing and the person who cut my hair wore a mask and gloves. Well, Mayor Beetlejuice, why can an ordinary average Chicago citizen or resident go in and have their hair done by somebody wearing a mask and gloves? Oh, I forgot, because they don't take their hygiene seriously. Only you
I'm
do.
I'm out in the public eye and, you know, I'm a person who I take my personal hygiene very seriously.
So if you take your hygiene seriously, you can violate the rule. If you don't, if you're just a slob, well, you don't care anyway. And if you are the public face of the city, you can go in and get your hair cut and your hair done. If you're just a schmo working in an office somewhere, too bad. You've got, and in fact, you don't even get to work in your office. You sit at home and let your hair grow down to your knees and take it. Because you're not as important as I am. This is a remarkable thing, and it's not about hair in either case. It's not about hair in Lori Lightfoot's case. It's not about hair in Nancy Pelosi's case. It is about Democrat elitism. They don't see you as being on their level. You can't do the things they can do because you are not them. It's the entire idea behind huge government socialism that they all support. You are not smart enough to know how to handle your money, and you are certainly not smart enough to know how to handle freedom. So we will control the money, we will disperse it as needed, and we will tell you what you are and are not able to do with your lives. We're smarter, we're better, and don't you forget it. These two little examples of two disgustingly homely women trying to be a little bit less homely for the cameras is a lesson in elitism. It's a lesson in progressive privilege, not hairstyles. I'll be right back.
It's the Bob France Authority here on AM 1420. The Answer.
I have heard a number of people trying to defend Nancy Pelosi, suggesting that it's not her fault. She really did not mean to go into that salon. She mistook it for a saloon. She thought it was saloon. And no, there's no evidence that Speaker slurring Nancy Pelosi was actually trying to find a saloon either. So, no, I don't think that's true. The owner of the salon that she has set up is receiving, that she accused of a setup, is receiving death threats for daring to set up, to set up Nancy Pelosi by having a salon and having somebody that she rents a chair space out to set up an appointment with her illegally. Her name is Erica Caius, and she was on Tucker last night talking about how it feels to have been accused of a setup by Nancy Pelosi.
To be honest, it was more hurtful. She's been coming in for quite a while, and just to see her come in, and especially not wearing the mask, that's what really got to me. But, yes. You know, this isn't even political. I mean, she's been coming in there. It's the fact that she actually came in and didn't have a mask on. And I just thought about, you know, my staff and people not being able to work and make money and provide for their families. And if she's in there comfortably without a mask and feeling safe, then why are we shut down? Why am I not able to have clients come in? So it's been hard.
And that's exactly the point. If Nancy Pelosi's, well, I thought I was told that we could come in one at a time, then why wouldn't the business be open? And wouldn't they be serving one client at a time? What would that be? Maybe two per hour, depending on how much work has to be done. Maybe three per hour. Sometimes maybe only one per hour if it's a color, whatever the case might. Why wouldn't they be open doing one client at a time? Because Nancy Pelosi is a dirty, rotten, filthy, disgusting, reprehensible, progressive liar. That's why. More from Erica Caius.
Can you prove that this wasn't a diabolical setup designed to bring down the Speaker of the House by blow drying her hair?
She had called the stylist or her assistant did and made the appointment. So
yes,
the appointment was already booked. So there's no way I could have set that up. And I've had a camera system in there for 5 years. I mean, I didn't go in there and turn cameras on as soon as she walked in to set her up. So that's absolutely false.
Obviously, it's absolutely false. And the real question is how and why can a progressive just not say, yeah, I did it. And yeah, I screwed up. And yeah, I apologize for that. I was really at my wit's end. I just really needed a haircut. And I know I'm not allowed to. And I know nobody else is too. I screwed up. Okay. Why can't they do that? Why couldn't Bill Clinton say, yeah, I did it. I did it and I enjoyed it. And it was a mistake, but I did it. Instead, I did not have sexual relations with that woman. Ms. Lewinsky. No, they can never just say, yeah, I did it. And the reason why Nancy Pelosi thinks she can get away with it. Well, let's let Senator Kennedy answer that question.
Defense. And why is it so hard for people in politics sometimes to just say, I'm sorry, I was wrong? Why do you have to say I was set up?
Well, the speaker makes my point. She thinks most Americans are morons and are going to believe that. You know, when people, ordinary Americans, lie to Congress, you can go to jail. When members of Congress lie to the American people, it's called it's just politics, and that's what the speaker has done. She She knows that's not accurate. She just got caught, but she actually expects the American people to believe that excuse.
Senator Kennedy laying it out. Exactly. She thinks you are a moron. They all do. All liberal Democrats think you are too stupid to know what's going on. That's why they feel like they have to run your life for you. That's why they think that they have to have a huge government program for everything, determining what you do, when you can do it, how long you can do it for, how much you can get paid for it, so that we can, you know, shrink that wealth gap. They think you're too stupid, and that's why they want to control you. Make no mistake about it, ever. That's what's really going on here. It's not about hair. It is about progressive control. 9:31, time for news. AM 1420, The Answer. Now we continue on AM 1420, The Answer. Hope you're having a great morning. Better morning than Nancy Pelosi, probably. But then again, she doesn't feel a bit of remorse for what she's doing. Let's move onward and let's talk about Ohio politics. Let's talk about Ohio's Value Voters. The Ohio Values Voter Organization is a very important one, ohiovaluevoters.org. And they have always fought very hard for conservative values, family values, and principles. And they have done what they do every year, at every election cycle, rather, and they have issued a slate of candidates to vote for. The Ohio Value Voters endorsed list of candidates, including the names of President Trump, of course, Republican members of Congress or candidates Steve Chabot, Jim Jordan, Bob Ladd, and on down the line to state school board, Ohio Senate, Ohio House, all of these things. Pretty standard, fair. They generally support Republicans because Republicans support Ohio's values and conservative values, hence the name Ohio Value Voters. But this year, they have taken a step and a step further, rather. And John Stover with Ohio Value Voters is here to tell us what they have done and why. John, good to talk to you. How are you, sir?
Very good, Bob. Pleasure being with you this morning.
It's a pleasure to have you. Before we talk about the slate and the very interesting addendum at the bottom of the slate of candidates to support in this upcoming election, what are your thoughts about where we stand now in terms of the presidential election? The polls are kind of wide and varied. Some show the president narrowing the gap that he has had with Joe Biden in a lot of battleground states. Others show Biden still comfortably ahead by 8 points or more. What's your confidence level right now?
Well, you know, I would say this, Bob. 4 years ago, there were those that, on behalf of Hillary Clinton, were already measuring the curtains in the White House for her. And, you know, a strange thing happened, election night. No, I firmly believe that President Trump has a underlying number of Republicans, independents, and Democrats that are just not stating at this point in time when these polls are being conducted as to who they're supporting and voting for. I firmly believe that the president's message is on key. Unfortunately, Joe Biden, you look at some of the positions that he had taken in the past, specifically during the primary, and all of a sudden he's developed selective memory loss. Don't know if that's his intention or if that's beyond his control, but he definitely is attempting to paint himself being much more conservative than he had been during the primary. He did state that he was going to defund the police. Now all of a sudden he says that's not his plan, et cetera. But I firmly believe that President Trump will be fine. Our organization was the first statewide organization last year that endorsed the president and Mike Pence for reelection. And, we're looking forward to another 4 years.
We're talking with John Stover of Ohio Value Voters. Look them up at ohiovaluevoters.org. I'm looking at their homepage right now, stating who they are and what they do, and we're talking about who they support. One more quick question on this. A prominent firm, and I've seen this on two or three different news channels in the last 24 to 48 hours, have said that they predict that President Trump is going to win re-election on election night, but that is going to be overturned in the subsequent days as more mail-in ballots are counted, and that when the counting is done, Joe Biden will have won because of the number of Democrats who will vote by mail and the number of Republicans who did not. Thoughts on that?
Yes, you know, Bob, I would say this. There's no doubt that the Democrat National Committee and Democrat leadership in general are doing everything they can to create a situation we had in 2000 with the Gore-Bush race and the hanging chads, and that was only in one county in Florida. And now what they're attempting to do with this mass mail-in voting throughout the nation and throughout various states is to create an environment that ultimately, the morning after the election, that they're going to have all of these ballots that have not been counted. And, you know, they're going to, you know, they've already lawyered up, I understand, in many states to get ready for this so that they can challenge the legitimacy of Donald Trump winning on election night. And this is definitely alarming, and it's a concern. And I'm glad to see that the Attorney General of the United States, William Barr, is weighing in on it.
Yeah, I am too. I'm very troubled by the prospect of getting to Inauguration Day 2021 and not having this settled yet, because I can firmly see that. I mean, seriously, you know, if what you just described, the chaos that they are trying to foment here, which is, you know, like you said, it's 2,000 and one county in Florida times, you know, a factor of 10 or more. It's on steroids. The court challenges are going to be forever. President Trump's legal team is not going to allow that to stand until there's a full investigation of every mail-in ballot to make sure it's authentic and where it came from and it was signed by the right person and so on and so forth, and vice versa. Eventually, the Supreme Court is going to have to settle this, and I can see our country being in a state of flux for a period of months if something like that happens. John, let's talk about Ohio Value Voters endorsed candidates now. Of course, you endorse President Trump. And before we get to that bottom part, you know, you look at the Ohio House and just looking at the General Assembly and look at the Senate, too. Bit of chaos now, of course, with the removal of the Ohio Speaker, Mr. Householder. And, you know, there's just a lot of bad I don't know how to describe it now, but a lot of events have happened over the course of the last couple of months, as we know, that have thrown Ohio's Republican leadership into a state of some disarray. Do you think that's going to be reflected in how these races go?
You know, it very well could be. You know, only time will tell, and we won't know fully until the day after the election. You know, it was unfortunate, the outcome. Relative to, you know, the findings and the investigation, et cetera, by the FBI and the federal government. But, you know, I firmly believe that people throughout the state are going to look at each individual state rep, state senator, that, and specifically, since we're speaking of the House, that you're going to look at the state reps, and they're going to vote, you know, for those individuals that, you know, have certainly voted the values of that district over the past 2 years.
Okay, so John, I'm looking at the endorsed candidates, and now I look down at the bottom of the page of the slate, if you will, and here's what we see. The following candidates have received a no-confidence rating. They have demonstrated a betrayal of the core values of Ohio Value Voters by voting against the heartbeat bill. Do not vote for these people. John, I'll let you tell us who they are and tell us a little bit more about why.
Yes, we, as a board, discussed this at length, Bob, and basically our primary concern was this, is that, you know, as they state, we just mentioned Joe Biden, you know, running to the far left during the primary, and now he wants to come back and try to, you know, show himself as being a moderate. Mm-hmm. You know, you have this potentially the same thing that can occur with Republicans, you know, voting to the far right and embracing these values and, you know, claiming that you're going to be doing things that are going to be what one would consider Republican values. And then once they get in office, they don't live up to that. Ultimately, we decided a do not vote for, vote of no confidence. And, you know, we discussed this for quite some time, the board of Ohio Value Voters. And we decided that in the future, we are going to end up calling out those legislators, whoever they may be. It could be Ohio House, Ohio Senate, could be U.S. Senate, Congress, could even be potentially a school board member. But we're going to basically look at each individual and say, look, if in fact, you know, you filled out our questionnaire, or if you didn't fill out our questionnaire, and you don't vote the values that we need to see you be voting for as a Republican, You should be running as a Democrat, and we're going to call you out, and we're going to urge those in your respective district not to vote for you. And the four that we selected, two for Ohio Senate, Stephanie Coonsey and Matt Dolan, Ohio House, Gail Manning, and Rick Carpanja. And the reason being is the fact that they voted against the heartbeat bill in 2019, which was certainly an important piece of legislation, and probably one of the only areas that I give our governor credit for during his administration at this time.
I agree.
As it relates to a piece of legislation that he did sign into law.
So the names again, Stephanie Coonsey, Matt Dolan, those are Ohio senators in Senate Districts 16 and 24, respectively, and Gail Manning in District 55 and Rick Carfagna in District 68 are House members that have gotten no confidence voting from Ohio Values voters. Have you ever done this before? Has Ohio Value voters ever done this before?
No, we have not. This is the, as far as I know, Bob, this is the first time that any organization in the state of Ohio has, taken this type of position. Mm-hmm. We feel it's important. I'm also in discussions with another statewide organization. I don't feel it's appropriate to mention their name at this point in time.
Okay.
But they are looking at doing the same thing. They like the idea, and they are looking at this same do not vote for the following candidates. You know, I mean, when you think about the process, it'd be very easy for a Republican in a Republican district, okay, that because they are, they don't necessarily prescribe, you know, we use the term RINO, Republican in name only, you know, because they really are in a very tough race in the primary. All of a sudden, you know, they become this far right, value voting member of the House or Senate, for example. And then after they get past the primary, you know, that once again they have selective memory loss and they forget what they stated. Well, we're going to hold their feet to the fire. You know, if you're going to, claim that you are, or even if you don't claim that you are, but you're still running as a Republican, you don't vote as a Republican, when these key votes come up, then we're going to have to call you out for it.
Well, I think it's worthwhile, because you're right. I mean, how hard would it be to actually, cast a vote for life? You know, you claim to be a conservative Republican, and then you cast a vote that essentially says the exact opposite of that very important value. I can completely understand why Ohio Value voters would be turned off enough to say, not only are we not suggesting people to vote for you, we are going to tell them directly, do not vote for these people because we have no confidence. I mean, it's right there in the very first, in the mission statement, right, of Ohio Value voters. We value faith,
absolutely,
life, family, and religious freedom. Life is extraordinarily important, including the lives of the most defenseless humans, and those are the ones
that's
still in
right.
the womb.
That's right.
Well, John Stover, I appreciate you coming on to share this with us. People can find this slate and this statement, right, at ohiovaluevoters.org.
Yes, they can go right to the website, Bob. They can download the specific voter's guide. They can also like us on Facebook, sign up for our email updates. We'll keep, we try to keep people throughout the state of Ohio updated on key pieces of legislation that they need to be aware of in Columbus as well as the federal level.
Yeah, and I want people also to take note of the donate button on the webpage, too, because this is a nonprofit organization dedicated to those values that I just ran off, a 501c4, and they need support. So if you have money to donate and it's going to be tax deductible so that you can help yourself and help this organization, make sure you click that donate button, too, as well at ohiovaluevoters.org. John Stover, thanks so much for the time. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Bob.
God bless you and the work that you and the rest do, and Diane especially as well. All right, going to take a quick time out now. It's 9:49. Before I do, though, I want to tell you that a week from tonight, today and tonight would be tonight if you can't speak like me. Tonight, 1 week from tonight, I will be speaking at a very important event for me. It's September 10th, next week, next Thursday is September 10th. And I'm going to be speaking at the Avon Lake Republican Club meeting. It's going to be held at the Father Reagan Knights of Columbus Hall on Moore Road in Avon off of Route 611 by BJ's. I've been invited to speak, and I'm really honored to do so, and I'm also very excited to do so because of the date. We're not just going to talk about the election. We are going to talk about the election, the state of the country, but we are also going to talk about September 11th. I'll be speaking on September 10th about the anniversary of the worst terror attack in American history, and what it did to our country and what it means for our country today, especially for those who forget it. I have made a pledge, like millions and millions of Americans did at the time, to say we will never forget 9/11. But sad but true, many people have in less than two decades. So we're going to talk about that all on September 10th at the Father Reagan Knights of Columbus Hall, located in on Moore Road in Avon off of Route 611 by BJ's. Hopefully you can be there with us next Thursday, 1 week from tonight. Quick timeout, back after this.
Bob France, here on AM 1420. The Answer.
9:56, short segment here. Thanks again to John Stover. And coming up in less than 10, well, about 10, I guess we'll call it, we're going to talk to our friend Dr. Everett Piper about a host of things, not the least of which is what happened in California. I mean, I want you to consider two California stories here that we're going to talk about. I'll set the table for you. Two California stories that really kind of have impacts far-ranging across the country. Number one is the all-out assault on the free exercise of religion. The California's governor and California's health department has imposed. Churches in California are being fined thousands of dollars for daring to gather the flock together. North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara County, California, was hit with a $10,000 fine for the unpardonable sin of allowing parishioners to sing during the church service. County health officials sent spies into the church to see if the parishioners were just praying or singing, and if they were lifting their voices unto the Lord, they would be fined, and they were. North Valley Baptist is failing to prevent those attending, performing, and speaking at the church services from singing, read a county-generated cease and desist letter that accompanied a heavy fine. This activity is unlawful. In Los Angeles County, Grace Community Church pastor John MacArthur has been hit with a massive fine for choosing to defy the governor's order against congregational gatherings. So what the county did was they hit them with a fine, and then even worse, they revoked their lease. Revoked their lease. The lease that they have had for 45 years on their parking lot with the city. So now nobody can park there. So, we'll show you. You can't congregate inside those church walls because you've got nowhere to park your car. In Ventura County, California, Godspeed Calvary Chapel has welcomed hundreds of parishioners to their Sunday services in spite of the temporary restraining order obtained by the health department. Pastor Rob McCoy said his church is standing up for what we need to stand up for, our First Amendment rights to religious liberty. We answer not to the government, but government, said the pastor, but to a higher calling. And he is right. So in the state of California, you cannot gather together to pray, and especially to sing. But you can gather together to scream, death to America, death to America, death to America. Did you forget that? This is what they're chanting as they march together, Black Lives Matter and Antifa, through Oakland, California, without fines, without penalties. You can chant death to America and no justice, no peace, and pigs in a blanket, fry them like bacon. You can chant all of that stuff in massive hundreds and thousands of strong protest marches, but you can't gather together to sing. And you know what else you can do in California? And this is what I'm going to talk about with Dr. Piper in just a short while here. In California, they have voted to, the legislature there has voted to ease the restrictions on child rape among same-sex members or people. If you are within 10 years of your victim, your teenage underage victim is no longer a victim. That means a 24-year-old grown man can perform sex acts on a 14-year-old child, a boy child, and not have to register as a sex offender. So at California, illicit homosexual sex with a child is being promoted. Singing to the Lord is getting fined. You think about that during our news break, and we'll be right back.